From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Let's talk gaming, and I'm not talking about anything to do with an MMORPG, an MOBA, or an FSP. Are those things?
Some of them were.
Or a PvP, or an LNP. No, we're not talking about the Liberal National Party.
I don't believe so, because I don't know what that is.
Or their policy on poker machines. No, for this type of gaming, you need only some cardboard and some dice, although it's a little bit more complicated than that.
A tad.
Because that's actually the subject that sustained us for 139 episodes.
Wow, that is terribly groaned up.
Now, this is The Dice Men Cometh, talking board games and card games. My name is Trent.
I am Leon, and we are the only two here at the moment, except for our special guest, which I will talk about in a moment.
Well, I think it's something to do with the fact that it's Thursday, the 20th of October, and that's show day.
It is a magical day in Tasmania.
Happy show day, everybody.
I can't believe it's not a worldwide holiday.
For the Hobart show?
Yeah.
You're right.
Because it's such a magic event where it takes an extra minute to get through Glenorchy traffic. And that's about the span of it.
It's magical that they get away with it every year, that's for sure.
That is very, very true. So, we've got a show. So that's what we're doing. So it is just the two of us today. Mr. Garth and Mr. Mark are away. So it is the inmates running the asylum. So everything
happy show day, guys.
Everything should go.
Happy show day.
Tickety-boo. We've all got this really, really well organized. So what we're doing, we're going to do a big old what we've been playing. And the reason it's big old is because we're talking about one of the biggest and longest games in our hobby. We also then, as I alluded to before, have a special guest in the studio with us who we will pick his brain once we get the rest of it out of the way. But until then, we figured since it's just the two of us here, we'd be really responsible with the music today. And we've gone with some nice, relaxing tunes. And this first one is by Misery Signal.
You know that's not true.
Not at all.
We apologise in advance for the next
hour or so.
That was a lovely little piece of awfulness that you brought in there, Leon. It's Edge Radio 99.3 FM with The Dice Men Cometh. What was it? Who were that? Was that again?
Misery Signal with the song "A Threat, a Victim."
I love the false ending that was in that as well. That just frightened the crap out of all of us. Thank you.
That's what it was here for.
Okay, so it's going to be all metal all the time,
pretty much
on the Dice Men this week. Just purely because we can.
Yeah.
And that's going to be except for the moments where we're talking about board games and card games, and particularly those that we've been playing lately, such as
Trent, say I wanted to take over the galaxy, right? And say I wanted to take a bloody long time doing it. How would I go about doing that in a board game form?
Right, because I was going to say you could flash forward 50 years once Disney's completely milked the Star Wars franchise.
Well, 50 years?
Yeah.
Take a zero off the end of that.
Hey, listen, can I digress for just a moment? How does it feel to know, how old were you when the first Star Wars film came out? You weren't born, were you?
Not even close.
Oh, my God.
I was born in 87.
I can remember the first Star Wars film coming out.
Oh, precious.
I'm going to die with Star Wars films unseen by me.
Oh.
Right?
I'd say that's almost sad, but it's not really.
I'm freaking out right now. If you wanted to take over the galaxy and take a bloody long time, you'd be playing Twilight Imperium 3 from Fantasy Flight Games.
Exactly.
And that's indeed what we did last Sunday with the return of my little unofficial semi-regular Sunday, or Epic Game Sundays.
That is the shorter name for it. Yes, Epic Game Sunday.
And it's a day that I put aside more or less every other month to play the Epic Games,
which I would argue this is probably in that category.
We always talk about this. We haven't gone in depth for a while.
Episode 4 or 5, I think you guys said the other day when we looked it up.
It's fair to say that this is a staple of the hobby, but you'd not played it before.
No, it's one of those things that it's very much a unicorn for a lot of people. I think that you hear about it, but unless you, because it's 10 years old now, so some people don't have it, and it is a bit on the expensive side. And
well, more than 10 years now, if you go back to the original.
Well, the current edition, which most people know of, it is about 10 years old, and it's just a matter of knowing somebody that has it and knows how to play it, and then you've got to kind of find the time to do it, which we luckily did.
This was the game that made Fantasy Flight Games. I mean, Christian Peterson, who's the CEO of Fantasy Flight, you know, now part of Asmodee, of course, it's ranked number 32 on Board Game Geek. Christian Peterson also worked on the Game of Thrones LCG, a lot of the StarCraft and WarCraft properties, a bit of the Star Wars stuff as well. The game originally appeared back in 1997, second edition in the year 2000, and then this third edition in 2005, actually.
Yeah, we actually thought the game was a lot older than that because the artwork on the original version looks like something from the 70s.
Ooh, doesn't it?
It's not pretty at all.
No. And look, the last major expansion for Twilight Imperium 3 came out in 2011.
That's still 6 years after the original.
And that's why there's a lot of speculation just constantly about the fourth edition and when it is or isn't going to happen. And we may get into that in a moment or two. But look, if you're unfamiliar with the game...
This is going to take a while.
Then what... then why are you listening to this show?
Yeah, exactly.
For starters.
Hello, random drivers. Nice to meet you. We're nerds. Nice to meet you.
If you close your eyes and imagine the ultimate space opera game with warfare, technology, intergalactic politics, hundreds of cards, dozens of plastic miniatures, little spaceships going pew, 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 and a modular board that's different every time, that's what it is, okay?
It certainly is.
It's fabulous. It's one of my favorite games. It's also routinely and not unjustifiably mocked for its 10-hour plus playing time.
Well, that's fair enough, but that's its thing. And if that's your thing and you do that thing well, then mockery shouldn't be had, I believe.
About an hour per player, once you know what you're doing.
Give or take.
That sounds about right. I'm not going to run through all the rules.
No. Which, there's a couple of.
Players can either choose or get assigned a space wraith. with corresponding abilities. Some are a bit more straightforward than others. And you go through a process of collaboratively... you build the board together.
Yes.
Excuse me. Trying to place strategically the resource-rich planets that you need around yourself and where you start off in the galaxy, and trying to block your opponents with things like asteroid fields and supernovas. And then there's the wormholes. I won't even get into those.
No.
Everybody gets a couple of starting technologies and a couple of secret goals. And that's set up, and that takes about an hour.
Yeah, give or take. it can do.
You're also given a bunch of command counters, little cardboard chits that are used to determine your fleet size, what systems you can activate and move around in and do stuff in, and then you start taking your strategic actions.
Of course.
All right. And that's where you have a speaker. Speaker goes first. They choose a strategy card. There's warfare, diplomacy, production, trade, all sorts of things. You're looking for something to exploit. Because there's a few different expansions, a few different versions of Twilight Imperium, there's some disagreement on the best strategy cards to leave in and leave out of the game.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it's all modular.
There's lots of different combinations you could have onto all the different bits you can add to this game if you want.
By the time you actually start playing...
Yes, I remembered that bit.
You're usually, I think, fairly pleasantly surprised to find it quite engaging because of the old Puerto Rico mechanic that it uses.
That's the one thing I will say about this game, that straight away you say 10 hours and you think, oh, it's either going to be tedious or really, really complicated.
And we're playing with six players on last Sunday, so I was like, oh my God, I've got to wait for five other people. No, it's not like
that. I found it neither. It is not tedious. It is not boring. It is also not that complicated, which we'll get into in a minute, but it's not that much to it, really.
Can you explain the Puerto Rico mechanic, like how that works with the strategy cards?
You're probably better off doing it.
Oh my God.
Me.
So you choose a strategy card. That gives you a bonus. It gives you a certain special action that you can do. But everybody else at the table also gets a corresponding action with it.
Yeah,
but that player gets the bonus.
Yeah, you get the big old good action, and then everyone else gets a kind of slightly lesser action to do. But what that does is something very, very important in a game of this length, is it makes it not boring for everybody else. It's not the, you're doing your turn, and you're on the other side of the galaxy to me, so what you do has nearly no consequence, not at all. Because if you're playing these special cards, I get to do something. And exactly. Everybody gets to do something. The downtime in a game like this, the only time it ever really happens is when there's battles between two people that maybe have big forces, like I said, over the other side of the galaxy, so it doesn't really affect you. You get a bit of downtime there if you've got your next few turns planned ahead of you. But other than that, there's always something you do. I was never bored the entire time. I've played games that we've played for an hour and a half and have been going, bleh, for a while. This took us 10 hours, and at no point was I sitting there going, bleh.
You're invading various planets. If you do that, you land on the planet, you take its card, you take its resources. If you're in the same space as another player, you must fight. There are a lot of optional extras, rules that you can sort of turn on and off if you feel like it. Things like, it's called the Distant Suns mechanic, where there are just tokens on each world that you discover, which might give you bonus technologies.
Which is very nice. We played with that and it was good.
Turn around and stuff you up. But ultimately, it's not really a game about fighting each other. It's a game of pursuing an abstract goal, a fairly abstract goal,
yeah,
as determined by a random card that you draw,
to
get victory points.
Yeah,
and that's really what it's all about.
It's a game that is, I mean, it is basically, you could call it a big space war, but in the sense of like a real human war. It's not just my goal is to destroy them and that's the end of it. There's a lot more to that. There's lots of different ways to win. There's lots of different alliances to be had. There's much more complex than just got to destroy them and that's the end of the story.
So Twilight Imperium, and particularly the third edition of this game, is famous throughout the hobby. It's a bit of a grail game for many, many people. I'm well and truly on the record for absolutely loving it.
Mm.
I've got to say, playing it on Sunday, I really do think it's starting to show its age now, though.
Do you? How so?
Well, it's too long. I mean, it's too long and it's too fiddly. I mean, it doesn't really need to be this length.
It doesn't. Well, the best example I can give to that is something that I brought up a few times, which is one of the reasons why I think I caught on to this game really quickly and I didn't find it complicated at all, is that another fantasy
says,
flight
says
game,
the winner of, yeah, the, I should of course point that you were a joint winner with young Georgie.
Yes, indeed I was.
Yes,
but another game which I've talked about on the show a few times,
I had to settle for second place. I just want to get that out there.
Yes, you love a second place. You're actually mad for it.
This actually is a game I'm not too bad at.
Yeah, well, just not good enough. But yeah, so another fantasy flight game I've talked about quite a bit. Forbidden Stars, the Warhammer 40K game, which, as I just said, also by Fantasy Flight. Right. It is like,
just so you know, part of my brain is automatically just turned off as soon as you've said that.
But well, yeah, relax. On. It is basically Twilight Imperium Light. It has got a lot of very, very similar mechanics and very similar everything, almost, except that it can be played. It's still not a short game. You could still, I've had games of that where it's taken 3 hours or so. So it's not a small game, but when you compare it to 12 hours, then yes, it is. And because of that, it made me get into this a lot more, so I didn't really find it that fiddly at all.
I just think there's too many unanswered... Look, I know there are rules erratas scattered all over the web and stuff, but I think there's too many unanswered questions about particular situations.
There was definitely a bit of Googling.
We had the problem with empty systems, because some of the tiles that you put out of the board are actually empty.
Yeah.
Now, if I have a ship in that, does that count as a system that I control or not?
Well, that's up for debate, as we found, on a few different things that are up for debate.
Because it did at one point, and then maybe it didn't later, and yeah.
And you got to remember that it's Fantasy Flight, so their rule books are, they are what they are.
And yeah, look, and complaining about Twilight Imperium 3 being too long is like complaining about the night being too dark.
Yeah.
All right, but it just doesn't have to be... Okay, if I attack your fleet, you get a bonus first round of anti-fighter barrage if you have a destroyer, but you might also have a tech that allows your PDS, that's your big ion booby shaped cannon, from the that might fire first from from an adjacent system if you've got the tech for that, but I might have an action card that makes you re-roll that, and then we roll combat, which could take rounds and rounds of both players trying to roll a 9 or more, and then I'll invade the planet. Oh, but wait, there's a trap, and your ground forces have a bonus, and I roll a 10, they become shock troops, but I couldn't bring enough troops because my carrier doesn't have the capacity, and I didn't have enough resources to produce the carriers I needed, and they move too slowly anyway, only one space instead of two, unless I get that technology, and did I get a discount for that, or did I just get it for free, and is it my turn?
Are you trying to say that's complicated? Because that makes perfect sense to me. Now that I've played the game, that makes perfect sense. Otherwise, it'd be complete gibberish.
So, to talk about Twilight Imperium 4 and to speculate further about it,
right?
Because I have talked about this on the show before, that I think Well, Fantasy Flight Games have just obviously reissued Mansions of Madness.
Yes.
With an app, with a dedicated app now mm-hmm. that looks after... It stops you needing an overlord, as in yep. as in the Descent
yep.
Game, where you actually need somebody to run the game.
Sure.
The app does it for you. I think that Fantasy Flight Games would be mad if they didn't go the same way with Twilight Imperium 4. Even though you don't need an overlord player per se.
No.
But there's so much bookkeeping.
No, but what you definitely do need is a dedicated source, like an app, where you can go in there, type in either a question or just a keyword, and get a whole bunch of information, actual relevant information to what you need. Because there's hundreds and thousands of BGG forums about rules and stuff for this game. If they collaborated a lot of them all together into one place and made it, this is the official source, and there's enough people that have played this enough that I guarantee someone, we know people that could sit down and go, right, this is every single question you would need to know about this game, and here they are in one place. It could be done because people are that bigger fans of this game, and that is something they should definitely do.
I think there are rules in this that could just come out completely.
There are
to streamline it.
There are bits and pieces of it.
I think the command counters could just go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair enough.
I mean, certainly the command counters for determining the size of your fleet.
Yes, which...
That part... I mean, look, we're getting deep here. Right?
No, yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's kind of... Yeah. But there are definitely things that can be streamlined. But again, I have no trouble with something doing something well and then claiming this is what we are and this is what we do well. It claims it's a monster of a game. It claims to be, this is the biggest game
you'll play. Oh, it doesn't pretend. Yeah.
No. And that's... If it said otherwise, if the box said 2 hours, maybe, then you'd go, well, this is ridiculous and no one would ever play it. But the fact that you've got this monster and it's for this reason alone, this twice a year, get it to a table, six mates that all know how to play it. But yeah, it's, you could take it either way. Would it be more accessible and sell a lot more if it was a bit more streamlined, a bit more quicker? Sure. But for what it is, I think it's kind of fine for what it is.
But if it was app-based, all right?
Yeah.
You could possibly make it scenario or story based.
That would be brilliant.
It could be massively expandable.
Yep.
Okay. You could be because I've always wanted there to be a bit more to do with the worlds themselves.
Yeah. A bit more story would kind of be nice.
The worlds that you invade are just kind of their numbers. They're just resources for you to use.
Yep.
There should be specialist races or techs.
Event type things like you landed on this planet which has this race which your race previously feuded with or whatever else down 1,000 years ago down the track.
Or you could play through some kind of galactic history.
Yeah.
Imagine a legacy component to Twilight Imperium.
I mean, yeah. I'd rather not, because I've come off night shift, so I don't want to do that. So, should we talk, though, about the big, massive space elephant in the room when it comes to version 4 of this game?
Which is that it doesn't exist?
No, is that Star Wars. Surely, it's going to be Twilight Imperium Star Wars, because the name alone, it'll sell. And I would argue you could bring out the exact base game of TI3, maybe with an app, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with a slightly better rule book written by people that have playtested the hell out of it and just wash over all the races in the game and bring in Star Wars stuff and it would sell besquillion copies and it would probably be number one on BGG within a couple of months.
But the whole point of Twilight Imperium is that there are multiple races that are competing. That would mean that you might have to give in Star Wars, I don't know, who's that guy who flies the Millennium Falcon when Chewbacca isn't around, with the big lips, he's in the third one.
The fish guy.
Yeah. The Mon Calamari. It's a trap.
That guy.
It would mean that he could have his own Death Star.
Yeah, and so could ET, because that's a race that's in that universe. I saw it on the internet.
This is just getting silly.
It is just getting silly. But the fact is, I mean, if they announced it today, what would your bet be that it'd have Star Wars involved in it?
Oh, I think that'd be a very high probability.
Exactly. So the fact that it's going to happen, we should probably just accept the fact that it's going to happen.
I know that Christian Peterson from Fantasy Flight Games is working on this at some level. It's got a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
So to kind of summarise it, I really enjoyed it. I've heard about this game ever since getting into the hobby. And I fully go with all the hype that I heard. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I'm not going to go say it's one of my favorite games ever because I've only played it once, but I really, really enjoyed it. But something that needs to be mentioned, this is the first time I ever played, and it was also the first time our friend Aiden ever played. And he had a slightly different experience than me in that he had a lot more difficulty with understanding what was going on, whereas for some reason for me, it just clicked straight away. Before we'd played it, I knew nothing about the game other than it was big. We watched this brilliant YouTube video that we found, which is a 30-minute explanation for the rules. That sounds long, but it's actually really, really well done by these guys that keep you entertained the whole time. And once I watched that, got to your place, Trent, and sat down, you were explaining the rules, and I went, yeah, I know all these, and I hadn't forgotten any of them. And then we started playing, there was not many things that I'd forgotten, and no real big surprises. At no point was I sitting there going, I completely forgot about that, and that's changed my last 5 hours of playing. That was stupid. I got it straight away. Whereas Aiden kind of didn't. And it's just funny that we're two people just had that completely different experience. So this game you could whip out, if you're a big fan of, with some new people and have a horrible experience, or a really great one. It's just, yeah, it's just different the way that people can see it.
I think Aiden's just a little bit challenged like that, frankly.
Well, I was trying to be polite in a long-worded way of saying that, but yeah, I mean, come on now.
Speaking of long-worded, we've been talking about this for a while. Twilight Imperium 3, if you've never played it, do so.
Play it, it's an experience you need to do.
Maybe don't go out and buy it just yet, because we are anticipating that a fourth edition will be just around the corner.
Play it with somebody that has played it, for God's sake.
Speaking of new versions of games, we have our competition to draw.
We certainly do.
In this show, Vini Vidi Vici Medici, with thanks to Grail Games.
I can't believe you remember the name of that, because I completely forgot.
Two copies of Rainer Canizia's Medici.
Yes.
We're going to give that away at the end of the show. But up next, we'll introduce our special guest.
Yes.
We will?
Yes. Will you expect me to say his name now?
Well, you could if you wanted to.
Nah, let's make people wait. We've built it up now.
All right, so Dice Men Cometh, Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. Edge Radio 99.3 FM, the Dice Men Cometh. Trent and Leon here tonight, and I've got no idea how that song snuck into our All Metal Fest tonight, but there it is, Bushwick Opep.
Yeah, that was death metal to the core.
Sorry, I think I'm not concentrating.
You've channeled Mark there and gone into his playlist. I can see that a mile away.
All right, do your thing.
Do my thing. Right, well, we have a special guest in the studio. We have Young Neil. Say hello to the people, Young Neil.
Hello, people.
There we are. That's Young Neil. So that's that done. No, Neil is the proprietor of one of Australia's biggest online board gaming stores, Polymorph Games, who we have run competitions for in the past. We are big fans of. So we thought we'd get him into the studio because he is a local Taswegian like us and have a chat to him. So, Neil, let's start off with the obligatory question of how did you get into this board gaming thing?
That's a very good question. It goes back
I should think so. It's my first one. I'm very proud of it.
Well, I was first introduced to games way back in the dawny mists of time in about 1985.
That was... No one was alive then. So I think you've... Oh, hang on. Sorry, I wasn't, but everyone else was. Yes, anyway.
And I was introduced to D&D, much to my mother's disgust, by a good friend of mine. And been a gamer ever since, really, from that point.
Yep.
And this is hard for the kids to understand these days.
1985.
Well, this is... Well,
What?
Back in the days of the Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
Right? Where D&D was going to lead us all off to, you know, sacrificing young virgins and stuff.
I haven't sacrificed one yet, but I'm open to opportunities.
Well, certainly there were plenty of virgins playing D&D.
There were, yes, indeed.
No, say it is not so. So D&D back in the 80s, that's what kind of got the nerd started for you, and then it's just kind of grown from there?
It has indeed. D&D's always been a bit of a... it's always held a special spot in my heart.
Yep.
And that's pretty much how Polymorph Games came about, actually.
Okay, so it was basically, you've been playing this game, you've been playing it for well over, what's that, 30 years now? I can't even math good. I'm 30 and that was before then. So yeah, there you go. And then from there, it's just led you to interest in other board games and other RPGs and things like that?
Absolutely. I actually game every Thursday night normally.
Yep.
Sorry guys, can't be there tonight.
Yep.
And yeah, we were playing D&D one night and we're tossing around the idea of, surely there's got to be an easier way to get games.
Mm.
And I did some looking into it and contacted varying distributors and publishers and so forth and thought this could be some fun.
Yeah.
And in some regards, that was correct.
Yeah, in some regard. But that's a massive leap, because we've all sat there and, you know, playing games with friends and put the worlds to right in one way or another, saying this should be done this way or we should do it this way. But it's just kind of all table talk, essentially. The fact you actually have gone and gone, nah, going to do it, going to be a grown-up and actually make something of this, it's a big decision to actually pull the trigger on that.
It was, yeah. No, we looked at a few different options and varying models. Do we want to go open up a shop front, open up online only, games, where we were going to open up, things like that.
Yep.
And, yeah, I made the decision, and oddly enough, on the 1st of April was when I actually registered the business, and, yeah, definitely the joke was on me on that one.
You're sitting there playing D&D thinking there's got to be an easier way to get this product here. You'd heard of the internet.
I have heard of the internet, which is one of the reasons we've gone along that business line.
Yeah, and I mean, have you fulfilled that? Have you actually made it easier for yourself to get those your own hands on those games, let alone everybody else?
I've definitely made it easier for myself and a lot of friends and then a lot of other customers to get a number of games. We are now stocking quite a large range of games.
So it comes down to actually having the stock here in the country.
For us, yes. Right. We've opted to go through Australian distributors as much as we possibly can. We're an Australian business ourselves. We like supporting other Australian businesses. It may mean we don't make an extra dollar or so here in a game by not importing it from the US.
Okay.
But, you know, at the same time, we're also supporting other people in the industry. Mm. And, you know, we're all making some money and being part of a fantastic hobby.
All right, so look, tell us how it works and break it down. Let's imagine that I'm 15 years old. Oh, I remember the good old days. No, it's true, I don't. I barely remember them. And I'm complaining about the cost of games and, you know, I'm living here at the arse end of the world and it's also goddamn expensive. Why can't it be cheaper for me, Neil? All right? Come on.
Basically down to two
things. Come on, you're the man. You're sucking dollars you're sucking up my pocket money every week.
And we appreciate that. But essentially, it comes down to a couple of things. The Australian dollar.
Yeah.
And living basically in the backside of the world.
Yep.
Freight to Australia and a bit further down to Tasmania
is
expensive and does take time.
Sorry to just butt in there, Neil. When did you actually start the site?
So I registered the name in the April, what are we now, about 18 months ago?
About 18 months ago. That's what I wanted to ask, because when you said about the Australian dollar, I wondered if you were around during the glory days of the...
When it was 1-to-1.
When it was even more than 1-to-1. Yeah. I my comic book collection and board game collection soared for a couple of months there.
Oh, yes. So I bought a lot of stuff from overseas.
And then ever since my the websites I used to go to, the ship from the US, they've just got dust on them now because of that old transition.
Well, look, there's a reason to vote for Trump.
Why? Because everyone will have to move... Oh, because their dollar will go. That's a solid point.
The American dollar.
Oh, that's a good point.
It may well tank, and the Australian dollar may get parity or more again.
But let's not talk about that because it's depressing as hell. Anyway,
so shipment, and this is where the distributors come in. The distributors are purchasing the product from the publishers. Is that correct?
Correct. So they're usually shipping directly from the publishers themselves, and they bring in massive containers of the products themselves. And then we'll often get a container or two shipped down ourselves filled with varying product.
A whole container.
Mm-hmm. It's often just easier that way and works out more cost effective. Unfortunately, freight to sometimes Tasmania can take a little bit longer
from the mainland. Yeah, and then there's actually a lot of politics involved in that stuff as well, because there's various subsidies for some products coming across Bass Strait from the mainland and not for others.
King Island and Flinders get certain equities as well.
I think it's to do with the whatever local content there is. The board games wouldn't qualify at all for any subsidies. No. So, yeah. And that's why, and you're explaining this before we came on, you actually have a warehouse on the mainland.
Yeah, we've recently opened up a warehouse on the mainland, which does allow us to ship to our mainland customers much faster. And we've now got a smaller facility here in Hobart where we store our product and ship to our local customers as quickly as we can as well.
And so being an online store based in Taswegia, Are you primarily servicing the local population at this end of the country, or are you going broader than that?
We're shipping all around the country at the moment.
Right. Or out of the fantastic country, as you told me earlier today.
Indeed, yeah. We actually just got our first order to ship to Antarctica the other day.
What?
Antarctica.
Yeah.
What?
Oddly enough, a copy of Islebound.
Yes, because they don't have enough lovely islands down there. They need to see some more. I'm just impressed if it wasn't K2. That would have been hilarious.
There's a board game nerd in Antarctica.
Apparently so. I've asked them to send us a photo once the game arrives. So yeah.
We have to talk to this person.
I'll have a chat if they're willing to do that.
That is brilliant.
We absolutely... I want to know what's in the library down there.
I don't know if they have a library, if it's just for their personal entertainment, but yeah.
Because when I imagine Antarctica, it's essentially I'm just imagining John Carpenter's thing.
Yeah, oh, yes, yes.
Right? And so there might be a dusty copy of Scrabble and Monopoly in the corner, covered in blood a little bit. Yeah. But now there's Islebound. Oh, this is great.
Which is just the prettiest thing down there at the moment by the sounds of it.
And hopefully won't be covered in blood from, you know.
Yeah.
So, how's 18 months in, how's it actually going for you?
It's ticking over quite well for us. We're shipping, as we've said, all over the country. Mm. It's going quite well. We've got customers from all states.
How are people finding you?
A lot of web searching. Has been the big thing. We've done the usual sort of social media promotions, Google, all of those sorts of
things. So people are searching, what, cheap board games, or they're searching for particular titles, are they?
Sometimes searching for, particular titles, affordable games. There's been a lot of word of mouth.
Yep.
We've received a lot of custom from, friends of friends of friends, which has just been fantastic. And we've been lucky enough to have sales grow each month fairly continuously.
Yeah, it's a really good thing because Australians, we're a very proud people of supporting our own. And that's why we always recommend people go to your local brick and mortar store to buy games and stuff. And that
absolutely.
With Polymorph, yes, you don't have a brick and mortar store, but you're about as Australian as you're going to get outside of actually having that brick and mortar store, which is the reason why we've been, we've kind of befriended you and have talked up to your website and whatnot. If it was something we didn't want anything to do with, we wouldn't have you here at all. So, you've done very, very well.
Don't listen to any of that. Leon just wants free games.
That sounds about right.
I mean, I've already copped some of them, so that's all right.
And you handed over a big wad of cash earlier,
didn't you? I did, because Islebound, again, it was shiny, and I went, oh, come on, Neil, give me that shiny. And he did, but I had to pay for it this time. I mean, I don't know what's going on with that.
So, hey, hilariously, you drove here in the Polymorph mobile.
Yes.
Yeah, much to my partner's disgust.
Is that the family vehicle?
It's one of, yeah. Yeah, we just recently bought a new car and my partner was very disgusted when I decided to put on a customised license plate and do a little bit of signage on the car.
Gamer. It says gamer.
It is good stuff. And he gets to park anywhere like a champ.
How does that work with the loading zone stuff again?
We just need some stickers, apparently.
So, I've got the car detailed, so if I need to stop out and drop a game off somewhere, I can pop in the loading zone and do it.
And so long as your car has a particular type of decal on it, you can park in any loading zone.
As long as it's a business name and the applicable details are on part of the signage,
Does it have to be a registered business? No.
I believe
who's going to be checking that?
I think we've gone off topic from board games here talking about parking restrictions in Hobart.
Are parking attendants walking around with a list of registered business names, or can I just make one up and stick my mobile phone number on the side of my car?
You could try it and let me know.
And just park in any loading zone.
Let's say you can do that. Just to simply move this along. Because that's a ridiculous thing to be talking about. Now, Neil, you said you play games every Thursday with your boys. What's some of the things you've been playing of late? You've still got your D&D in your back pocket, but you've obviously moved into the board game scape of things. What's some of the things you've been playing of late, or just in general that you guys tend to get onto the table?
Yeah, we've been playing a fair bit of... we've recently obviously cracked The Others.
Yeah,
that was quite enjoyable.
Mm. Really? Was it really?
Oh, don't listen to him.
We quite enjoyed it.
Don't listen to him. YouTube will tell that he's a moron. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
We've also been doing a bit of Shadowrun Crossfire.
Oh, okay.
That's been a lot of fun. What else?
So I'm detecting you're at the Ameritrash side of things.
Not necessarily.
Gamer.
Probably not so much into the Agricolas and so forth.
Yep.
But
They're a hard sell, let's be honest.
But yeah, there's so many games out there, and you know, we see all the games come through the shop front, and
It must be hell. I mean, it's hard enough for me sitting at home on Google looking at things going, whoa, you've got a bloody shipping container there which you could just get your little hands in there and go through that. Oh, that'd drive me insane.
The best thing about owning a games business is getting to see all the games that come through.
Mm.
And the worst thing about owning a games business is never having the
time to play any of them.
Yeah, yeah. Because, look, running a small business, I mean, it's such a tough gig.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I don't need to quote you that famous stat of, what is it, that 50% of all small businesses fail in the first 5 years?
Around about that, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, if you set yourself up that you need to make a profit in the first 12 months, you're going down, which is a thing a lot of people don't seem to realise.
That's it. I find a lot of people don't tend to crunch the numbers enough.
No.
And I crunched the numbers and took them to the accountant, and he went,
Hmm is better than
you. I still decided to proceed anyway because it is a big passion of mine.
And we don't need to go into all the details, but you in your personal life have a bit of a backup going on as well.
Yeah,
so
we're very fortunate that we've got a few other sources of income as well.
So it's not the sort of thing you'd necessarily recommend for people to jump into with both feet straight away.
I suggest if you're going to do it, definitely have some fairly good finance behind you.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily for the faint of heart. Don't jump in, do the research, crunch the numbers, talk to people is the big thing.
Yeah.
Mm. And the big thing is, of course, is that Australian online stores are competing with some of the bigger overseas companies. Yeah. And that can be quite difficult because they're often subsidised through various grants and so forth as well.
Yeah, they don't care if they offer a game that's $100 for $10 because you could end up buying a toaster on there as well that's giving them a 200% markup.
Well, that's it as well. And sometimes, you know, they're selling games and shipping them to Australia for cheaper than what I can actually buy them for.
Yeah, so you're doing it for the love, which is the most impressive thing about all this. Mm. It's the old thing of, you know, if you do something you love, you're not necessarily really working.
Absolutely.
Which is something admirable.
But you're fighting against that scale. The scale of Amazon and
Oz Game Shop are probably the big ones. Coming shipping straight out of the UK or their varying shipping points can be a bit of a task to compete against sometimes.
What are your biggest sellers? Because whenever I go into a bricks and mortar shop, they always say without a moment's hesitation, Settlers of Catan, Carcassonne.
Yeah,
right. And then it's Magic, and maybe if they're stocking it, it's Yu-Gi-Oh! Or the Games Workshop stuff.
Yep. You know, we've done quite a few of those as well.
Okay.
But certainly lots of pre-orders at the moment for all the new releases coming up towards Christmas. A lot of X-Wing.
It's the season, mate.
It is.
Yeah, Essen, Gen Con. Yeah.
A lot of pre-stuff coming through from some of the Essen releases as well, which is fantastic. Star Wars stuff always sells.
Yeah. What would you really say? What would you say is the one thing you think that you've? Well, you probably know from seeing the numbers. The thing you've sold the most of. This is the thing I've sold the most of.
Oh, I'd have to say probably Captain Sonar. I couldn't keep that in stock in 3 shipments.
Really? That's awesome because that's relatively new, and that seemed very impressive.
The buzz from Gen Con was just amazing, and suddenly we had orders for hundreds of the damn things.
Yeah, which is great.
Couldn't keep up.
No, that is excellent to hear.
Neil from Polymorph Games. Thank you very much for coming in. Feel free to hang around. We're not quite done just yet, but it's great. I mean, look, it's great that you've helped us out here on the show. We're happy to return the favour. It's always good to see somebody who loves their games taking it to the next level and kicking some goals. But it's also really interesting to have a little look under the hood of the business side of things because it's harder than what a lot of people realise.
It can be indeed, and I've just got to give a very quick shout out to my Thursday boys, Aaron, Bryce, Mark, Jamie, and Jared. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, we'll catch up soon. Sorry, but he's doing such a great job, isn't he?
Yeah. You've been replaced, Thursday boys.
All right, we've got a competition to draw.
That should totally be our name, by the way. Yes, we do.
In just a moment, we'll get to that in a sec. It's the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. New from the Dillinger Escape Plan, a song called I've forgotten what it's called.
You certainly have, and that book seems an awful colour of black with no words on it.
Symptom of Terminal Illness. Oh, that's a cheery tune.
Oh, that's lovely.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
Here with the Happy Flower Men.
Happy Show Day.
Yes, indeed.
Happy Show Day, everyone. Neil from Polymorph Games has joined us here. We're coming into the busy, stupid season, of course. All your pre-orders are coming in. Captain Sonar, you mentioned. Any other hot titles that are building up in the pre-order queues?
Oh, so many.
Cry Havoc, which I've bugged you about 30 times already.
Cry Havoc, I think, is going to be another fairly big one.
Mm. Now, I keep hearing about this, and it just looks like a big sort of a Merry Trash mess to me. But no? Is there actually a real game there? Do we know?
It's Kemet in space, so I'm sold.
All right.
That's all I need.
It's certainly looking pretty good. Terraforming Mars is fairly soon. That looks pretty good.
Is that the Robinson Crusoe one?
I can't remember.
Is that the one by Ignacy?
There's four different space Mars ones. I can't remember.
Mars is so hot right now.
It certainly is. But yes, that's the one everyone wants, the Robinson Crusoe on Mars one. Which I think is, if it's not that game, it's coming out soon anyway. So
yeah, there's just so many titles. We're in a bit of a glut coming into the Christmas period. Everyone wants to release their games ready for the new hotness for Christmas.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of choice out there.
And embarrassment of riches.
If only there was some sort of website we could direct them to. But we can't. So we'll move along.
We have a competition to draw Grail Games. Speaking of another fabulous Australian company, a publisher.
Yes. Buddies of ours.
Yes. The Hardings.
Yes.
Who have helped us out with a couple of copies of Rainer Canizia's Medici. This is the updated version of the game.
Yes.
New art by Vincent Dutre.
Yes.
Dutre. Thank you.
I'm just guessing.
A designer. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A designer himself and also the artist for the Lewis and Clark game.
Yeah.
So this looks absolutely fantastic. And we've asked people to go to our brand new website.
Yes, that's that website that we set up. So we asked them to go there. We gave them a bit of a hint as to where you might be able to find the link for this competition.
DiceMenCometh.com, by the way.
Yeah, of course, DiceMenCometh.com. And everybody found it relatively easy. The link might not have worked that well, but they found it, and we fixed the issues. But we also asked people to give us feedback about the site as well, which everyone has. And it's been relatively positive. I say relatively. It has all been positive. And we've been given a few pointers here and there, which is what we need. And
people are just sucking up to us because they want to win the game.
Yeah, which is fine.
I mean, it's quite abundantly clear that we're just making it up as we go.
Well, we've had a lot of entries for this competition, which is, again, good because it's views on our site. And it's a site that we hope to maintain and put a lot more stuff on there in the coming days, years, and whatnot.
And the winners of Vini, Vidi, Vici, Medici, thanks to Grail Games.
Number one goes to David Barless. Thank you very much for entering. We've got one coming to you very, very soon. And also, Darren Broad is the other winner of our competition.
Darren and David.
Darren and David, the two winners of the competition.
Good on you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thanks again to Grail Games. Hey, Grail Games are actually following this up with Medici the card game,
which is on Kickstarter a couple of days ago. I saw Mr. Garth backed, and I guess I'll back it as well, just because why not?
So it's an entirely new game?
I believe so. I'd be lying if I said I've actually had a second spare to look into it.
I don't believe it's an update of anything old, but it's just the Medici property again. It is Rainer Canizia behind it, and the fact that he's working with this Sydney-based publisher, I think, is just a fabulous little notch on Grail Games' belt.
Yeah, Grail Games know what they're doing. They don't put out garbage. That's because they're sensible lads.
So, coming up, PAX.
I have heard of this.
In Melbourne, 2016, in November. Neil's doing a little chair dance.
Yes.
Are you going to be there, buddy?
Yes, I'm definitely being there, purely for recreational purposes. It's going to be great.
Fabulous. Now, there's this whole process behind the scenes with PAX where you submit a list of ideas for... hypothetically, okay, if you ran a half-assed little board games podcast from, you know, the arse end of the world and you didn't have a lot of money and you were too cheap to buy a ticket to PAX, you could submit an idea for a panel, okay, that, you know, could maybe be entertaining. And if the idea gets up, you can actually get in for free and have your own specially coloured little pass and stuff. And it worked for us one year, and it's worked for some of us this year.
Yes, it has. But I'm that one of the some of us, so that's fine. So yes, some of us, maybe not all of us, will be heading to PAX this year, and at least one of us, young Mr. Mark, will be on the panel of the great debate.
He'll love it that you've called him young.
Yeah, I know. Did you hear the patronising tone of my voice when I said it? But yes, he will be on a panel called The Great Debate, and myself will be there, as well as Garth, Trent. Who knows? He's a man of mystery. He might turn up. You just can never tell with him. But we will be there. We'll be around the board games, which looks massive. The section of board games and all the different retailers and play area is humongous. So that should be good.
And you guys are all going to be wearing Dice Men T-shirts. So.
Oh, yeah. I'll be rocking the hoodie the whole time. And, yeah. And I'll have the pretty Dice Wife there as well, and she'll be doing the same.
So you can wander up and fawn, and you'll be signing autographs and... It's just going to be a great time.
Indeed it will.
All right, so that's PAX. Look forward to seeing you there. Neil, thanks again for coming in, mate.
That's my pleasure, guys.
All right, this is the Dice Men Cometh signing off for this edition of the show on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We'll catch you next week.
Ta-ra.
Done. See you later. Bye. Bye.
This has been an edit of the Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.